a rapid succession of animal eyes. BBC Natural World. A bear in a decorated collar.
Lily is a 7-year-old black bear.
She nuzzles a sleeping cub.
Every moment of her life has been played out online. And with almost 150,000 Facebook followers, she has become an international celebrity.
You know, she just might be the most popular bear in the world, and she lives right here in Minnesota.
But Lily's fame has come at a price. As black bear and human populations have grown, she has become the focus of a passionate debate about how people and bears can live together. Arguments have raged across the internet, and now Lily has a price on her head. So why do some people want her dead?
A bear with a bounty.
It's the end of August and the day before bear hunting season starts. Dr. Lynn Rogers is a pioneering scientist who has studied black bears for 45 years.
Well, we're on the trail. We got a signal now.
For the next 6 weeks, black bears are fair game. And for some hunters, top of their list of targets is Lily.
This year, we're under a special pressure because there's people out there that are actually gunning for her. And I can't understand it. But she's achieved some fame, and there's people just want to shoot her as a special trophy.
He's on his way to find her in the woods. The radio signal will give him a rough idea of her position.
I can't see her yet, but the signal says she's close. It's me. It's me, Bear.
He's carrying an antenna.
Come, Lily. Ah. Okay.
Looking for adult black bears in the woods might seem foolhardy. Lily weighs over 100 kilograms and is incredibly strong.
Come on. Right here.
She's known Lynn all her life and responds to the sound of his voice.
Okay, Bear. Come on. You're okay. You finally decided it was me, huh? Okay. Okay, here.
Lily is not a pet, but rather a wild black bear who has spent her entire life in the woods.
Okay.
To understand how Lynn has built such a unique relationship with this bear, and to find out why some people want her dead, we have to start at the beginning. Lily's home is the North Woods of Minnesota.
An area called Eagle's Nest, highlighted on a map.
It's much like any other woods in this part of North America, where we find black bears living alongside people.
A bird of prey swoops over thick autumnal forest.
This is Eagle's Nest. It's one of the communities where the debate about how people and bears should live together is being played out. Some have concerns about their wild neighbors.
They are very powerful. They can rip your arm off. They can kill you. They can do major damage to you. They can disfigure you for life.
A lunging bear.
They can get to 500-600 pounds, and I've seen the damage that they have done with just a swipe of their paw.
A bear swipes.
They could be in your garden shed or in your woodshed, and you may startle them. They may be simply wanting to escape, but if you're in their exit path, it could be bad.
What makes Eagle's Nest so different from the rest of America is that some people have been feeding bears in their gardens for more than 50 years.
I was scared to death. I would lay awake at night listening to see if a bear was going to break into the cabin. And he would go home and leave me here with the children, with our two children, and I'd think, oh, I just hope a bear doesn't come around.
A bear waiting at the door for food.
But I just have overcome that fear. I have absolutely no fear of the bear anymore at all.
No, Dot. No.
They are a beautiful animal and sensitive, just a beautiful animal to be able to be close to and be around.
Come on. No, you can't have the whole dish.
Yeah, at first the bears were a little scary because we didn't know much about them except all the stories we'd heard over the years.
Yeah, the first night after we moved here, we had emptied a lot of boxes and put them out in the backyard. And there came the bears looking through them to see if there was anything good inside those boxes. And so then we thought, okay, we have lots of bears.
Lynn in the forest.
Relationships like these are what attracted Lynn Rogers here. Before he arrived in Eagle's Nest, he had already been studying bears for 2 decades. Black bears are secretive, and like other researchers, he rarely saw the animals he was studying. Lynn thought there had to be a better way.
He picks his way across a waterfall.
Until now, the only way to follow a bear was with a radio collar from the air.
You track the bear from an airplane, looking at the tops of trees. You can't even see the bear that you're studying. You put some dots on a map. You think you know a lot about bears because you know where they went. You have no idea what they're doing.
This is why Eagle's Nest presented such an amazing opportunity for Lynn. If people were comfortable feeding bears in their own gardens, why not build similar relationships with them in the wild?
To come to that realization took me an embarrassingly long time because I had to overcome my own fears, the stuff I grew up reading, the hunting magazines, watching the media. And I'm embarrassed to say how dumb I was. I mean, I'm supposed to have an open mind as a scientist, but something that is part of your being, this fear of bears, it takes a lot to overcome that with people.
Lynn wanted to uncover the black bear's world, and the proximity of Eagle's Nest offered him the chance to answer some important questions.
One of the reasons I'm studying bears right here in this spot is after studying bears for several decades in an area where they were not fed, I want to find out, with people moving ever more into bear habitat, what are the effects on the bears?
With a bit of food, Lynn was able to gain the bears' trust and record how they behaved at first hand.
They take naps, they nurse their cubs, they make dens, they forage. And pretty soon it gets so you can put a camera just inches from the bear's face.
A curious bear licks his camera's lens. Time-lapse footage shows clouds scudding over a forest of spindly pine trees.
As Lynn felt more and more comfortable being close to the bears, his confidence grew. In the winter of 2007, he did something many scientists considered risky. Lynn put a camera inside the den of one of his research bears, June, just days after she gave birth to Lily.
Newborn Lily's eyes are still sealed shut.
Previously, it was thought too dangerous getting this close to a mother and her cubs. These moments were shared online. And from now on, Lily's fate would be inextricably linked to her growing popularity.
Images from Lily's early life fast forward to the cub at 4 months old. She's chasing other baby bears in a sunlit glade.
With her distinctive light brown face, Lily stood out from her much darker brothers, Cal and Bud. Lynn's long-term research colleague, Sue Mansfield, has filmed Lily's life from the very beginning.
When Lily was born in 2007, she was the apple of our eyes right off from the beginning. And she was also the dominant cub of that litter. I have a vivid recollection of watching her brothers, Cal and Bud, tussling as little cubs. And then kind of like out of, you know, stage left or whatever, comes Lily. And she just comes running and bowls them both right over. I mean, she was always the center of attention.
From Lily playing at 6 months old, more images of the bear family and the surrounding forest scroll by until Lily's a 15-month-old bear shimmying down a tree.
A year passed in Eagle's Nest, and Lily was now 15 months old. She emerged from her first winter hibernation together with her mother, June. And Lynn had big plans for her.
Lily is terrific. And she's the daughter of June, the bear we have spent the most time with. And we could go there and watch June interact with her cubs as if we weren't there. And Lily grew up like that, trusting us, the researchers.
Together, using a little bit of food, Lynn and Sue were able to get close enough to put a radio collar on Lily.
I remember when we got a collar on Lily, you know, she was so busy eating the nuts that she finally just gave up and let us do it.
Previously, scientists would not have dreamed of getting this close to wild black bears without tranquilizing them. It was a breakthrough moment.
But then once the nuts were gone, suddenly she realizes, oh, what's this? And she's rolling around on the ground, you know, pawing at it, trying to get it off. But after a while, they just give up and accept it, and that's what she did.
With her new collar fitted, they could follow Lily's every move on a computer. And most importantly, walk with her in the woods.
Not to act like a proud parent or anything, but this family of bears is providing more information about bear biology than any bear in the world ever has. It's just amazing. The relationship that Sue and I have with this family opens the door to stuff we didn't believe was possible.
Lynn jogs after the bear family.
It was pioneering, but controversial because standard practice believed that a fed bear was a dangerous bear. In order to challenge this assumption, Lynn and Sue spent time walking with Lily. They began a diary of her life, which they published online. Lily was now being followed by thousands of bear enthusiasts every day on Lynn's research website.
On the site, there's a daily updates page with headings such as Lily Steals the Show and Lily Begins to Learn. An American flag fluttering on the main street of a sleepy town.
By now, Lily had become so famous that people came from far and wide to meet the bears in person.
Now it's time to face your worst fear, your worst nightmare here.
What's his name?
Black as midnight.
Lynn was encouraging people to overcome their instinctive fears.
Well, Dale, you're not even using your teeth.
A visitor feeds a bear.
I think that people have a primal fear of any animal that has bigger, more pointed teeth than we have. They're the perfect animal to play the villain in TV programs or whatever. With that kind of history, we're fighting a big tradition of beliefs about bears. Okay, can you reach it, Dale? And the best way to do that is let people see real bears. They learn directly from the bears, not from me. And nobody can refute what they have seen. You want a pecan? There.
Records show that only one person every 2 years is killed by a black bear. In America, people are 100 times more likely to be killed by lightning.
A news headline reads, "Non-life-threatening injuries for woman in black bear attack." Visitors photograph the young bear, Dale, perching in a tree.
By now, Lily was a year and a half old and nearly ready to leave her mother, June.
Lynn films Lily and her siblings suckling at their mother's teats as she sprawls on her back on the forest floor. The young bears paw at her thick fur as they nuzzle close to get their milk.
It's interesting that they're nursing shortly before family breakup.
Cubs make a unique motor-like sound when they suckle. It means they are content.
June yawns, half closing her eyes as she rests her head on the pine needles blanketing the forest floor.
Female black bears normally have cubs every 2 years, and June was ready to mate again.
She slowly gets to her feet.
Then, a large male appeared in their territory.
A hefty black bear sniffs the air on a wooded slope, then bats at his face with one paw. June looks alert.
June's scent had attracted Big Harry. He's over 200 kilograms.
Lily leaves her mother's side and scrambles up a nearby tree trunk.
Male bears can kill youngsters, so Lily retreated up a tree. Having mated, June's instinct would be to reject her cubs. From this moment on, Lily and her brothers would be on their own.
A sun-dappled birch forest, then Lily sniffing the air at the base of a conifer.
Lily's brothers, Cal and Bud, moved off to find new territories far away. Lily, as a daughter, was allowed to establish a territory within June's.
Driving through a pine forest where the low sun glints between the trees,
Lynn and Sue's research was going from strength to strength. After 15 years of following bears in Eagle's Nest, they had a wealth of data on 14 collared bears. While Lynn and Sue were able to observe and record detailed behaviour as never before, some began to question their hands-on approach to studying the bears.
Lynn feeds them.
Was feeding bears making them dangerous?
Lynn fits a collar to a feeding bear, and the bear paws at its neck as it turns away and ambles towards the trees. White mist floating over a lake beneath a pine forest crusted with snow.
As winter approached, Lynn and Sue continued their research, following Lily's every move. She was pregnant, presenting Lynn with a unique opportunity. For the first time, they set up a live den cam, broadcasting it online.
Lynn throws nuts at the mouth of the den. Black and white footage from the den cam shows Lily nuzzling a newborn cub as it clambers over her arm.
Lily's rise to fame came with the den cam in 2010, and she gave birth to a single cub and became an overnight internet sensation.
The wobbly newborn.
Until now, scientists thought that black bears just slept through the winter. But the camera told a different story.
The cub reaches for Lily.
The main reason we put that camera in there was so that we could learn what happens in a den when nobody's there. And we thought, who would be interested in watching a bear sleep? Well, it turned out there was way more than sleep going on in the den.
A den cam fan offered to set up a Facebook page for Lily the Black Bear. And she went viral.
One comment reads, OMG, love watching her.
Her popularity grew by the day.
You know, she just might be the most popular bear in the world, and she lives right here in Minnesota.
Lily became famous when she gave birth to a cub live on a webcam. Since then, her fan following has gone international. She has more than 131,000 fans on Facebook.
We couldn't believe what was happening. Then we saw people joining the Facebook page thousands per hour. 150 countries around the world were watching her. There's over 500 classrooms following her daily. We knew that Lily was making a difference.
When Lily and her cub, Hope, eventually emerged from hibernation in spring, They were oblivious to the fact they had become international celebrities. However, no one was prepared for what was about to happen next.
In a sunny forest glade, Lynn's watching Little Hope crawling through the pine needles a short distance from her mother. She still seems unsteady on her feet.
Okay, no, no biting the shoe.
It was an early spring that year, and Hope was very, very tiny when they left the den. And we were a little concerned about, you know, how things were going to work out. But things seemed to be going fine.
Lily sniffs the air while Hope clambers through the undergrowth.
We were very hopeful that, you know, it was going to be a successful litter. And then, at one point, Lily abandoned Hope.
Sue and Lynn follow Lily.
Lily began to follow the trail of some male footprints, moving away from Hope.
It's me, Bear. Come, Lily. It's me.
And then she kept going, and she didn't return.
The towering canopy.
Abandoned in the woods alone, Hope was far too young to fend for herself. Too small to have a radio collar, she simply disappeared.
Sunset tinging the lakes and forested islands of Eagle's Nest with an orange glow. Time-lapse footage of tree shadows crossing the forest floor.
All that Lynn and Sue could do was follow Lily and wait.
Okay. I wish you would tell me this. Why did you leave Hope? Why did you do that? It made you look pretty bad, you know.
The eyes of the world watched the drama unfold.
One update heading reads, "Searching for Hope," and a posted comment reads, "Bad Lily."
It was very difficult to have this bear who had become so famous and had such a huge following leave her cub. And I mean, even just for us as researchers, it was huge. And not only did we have that to deal with from our perspective, but we also were under the spotlight from thousands and thousands of people around the world that were watching the story unfold.
Sunlight slanting through mist.
Both Sue and Lynn wanted to understand why Lily had abandoned Hope. After 5 days, Lynn was convinced that Hope was dead. But then, a lone cub was spotted. Lynn went to investigate.
It's hard to believe that this is Hope up here, actually, because it's just so far.
He drives along an empty forest road, slowing to a stop where a small group is gathered at the base of a pine tree.
Okay.
She was almost came down. She went.
Yeah,
she went down.
Just went up.
Oh, okay.
Did you see her?
Yeah. It's me, Bear. It's me.
Don't you think that's her? It's got to be her, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Unbelievably, it was Hope. Her fans around the world went crazy. But the drama wasn't over. The big question was what to do next.
You know, we had this huge following and many people with opinions on what we should be doing. And we're struggling with a situation that was entirely new to us.
Should they let nature take its course or intervene?
Coaxing the cub down with food, Lynn grabs her by the scruff of the neck. Lynn grips her firmly.
They decided to take things into their own hands, driven by their belief that there was an opportunity to learn something new, and also their own basic instincts.
Lynn and Sue wrestle Hope into a pet carrier.
We have been criticized, but I don't know how anybody could work as closely as we do with these animals without getting emotionally involved to a certain extent. I mean, we're biologists, but we're human as well, so.
Lynn and Sue attempted something no one had done before, to reunite a lost bear cub with its mother. Would Lily accept Hope?
She shies away from the cub as it reaches for her, batting at her face and clinging to her underbelly as she walks off. Lynn watches keenly as Lily resigns herself to the cub.
Eventually, Hope did begin to suckle. But after a couple of days, it became obvious that Lily's milk had run dry. Lynn felt it was likely that a hormonal change had moved Lily's focus from looking after Hope to looking for a mate. Now pregnant, her bond with Hope had weakened.
She was left in the wild to her own devices. She was going downhill real fast. I was afraid she was just going to die.
The tiny cub tears some moss from a branch.
They decided to provide food for Hope in the woods.
We had already intervened by putting, you know, mom and cub back together again. So then it seems that there's a responsibility to ensure that the cub gets fed and not, you know, starve to death when it's with mom because she doesn't have milk. So it became a progression from there.
Hope gingerly approaches Sue, who's sitting in the forest with a handful of food and a bowl of milky liquid. Sniffing around, Hope reaches across Sue's leg to get at the food, then laps from the plastic bowl.
Sue kept up her visits to Hope for a few weeks, and remarkably, it worked.
Hope paws impatiently at Sue's closed fist for more food.
I would stand there at the tree and I would call. And sometimes she would come, and sometimes she didn't. Initially, if she didn't come, I'd still leave some food. But then as she got bigger, I thought, well, if she's not coming, then she's probably just fine.
Website posts.
To the delight of the thousands of Lily's fans, Hope had made it.
A news headline reads, "Researchers reunite cub with mother bear," and another, "Hope found, safe and sound."
Saving Hope may have pleased some, but such an act was always going to divide opinion. Marshall Helmberger, editor of the local newspaper, followed Lily's story during that time.
Well, I think, you know, obviously Lynn, faced a dilemma here with what to do with Hope. But, you know, if you look at the past practice for Lynn and also for other wildlife biologists, and I think standard protocol in most wildlife research would be that you wouldn't intervene. You know, nature isn't the Disney production. Young animals die all the time, and I think most people, at least in this area, would feel that you wouldn't treat a bear cub any differently simply because people are following its every movement on the internet.
An aerial view of the forest community.
Lily and Hope's public drama had divided opinion. Although her fans were delighted, some local residents felt that this incident and the whole feeding of bears had gone a step too far.
I just don't think it's a good idea in a populated area to feed these bears and get them so habituated to people and looking at us as a means of getting food. Because that's what they're all about, is getting fattened up for the winter. And I just don't think it's a good idea. I really don't.
Whether they are his research bears with collars or simply bears that like to use that feeding station, they learn to associate deck equals food.
Young bears at Lynn's feeding station.
But what's different here is you also don't let your grandkids go out with s'mores or ice cream cones and wander toward the back of the yard or on the road, because if there's a bear anywhere around, they are going to come toward them because they think, oh good, there's a human here, they're bringing me food.
It's kind of divided the community, because there's been about a dozen households that have been hand-feeding bears in this community for over 50 years. And so most people that have lived here for a long time know bears. They're used to seeing bears. A bear can walk through their yard. It's a joy.
Twilight.
In 2011, a group of 38 residents signed a letter protesting the renewal of Lynn Rogers' permit because, they said, his collared bears posed a risk to children, among others.
An excerpt refers to the risks to public safety.
At the same time, the community of Eagle's Nest set up a committee to resolve bear complaints. Oblivious to all this controversy, 1 month later, Lily did something no one expected. She reunited with Hope.
Lily's sitting in a clearing when Hope ambles past, and she leaps up suddenly and chases the cub playfully around and around the base of a tree. Shying away, Hope picks up her pace and dashes away from her mother, who lopes after her around the tree.
However, Lily was in an unusual situation. She was now pregnant with a very young cub in tow. And as winter arrived, Lily and Hope denned together.
Den cam footage shows Lily and Hope snuggled together.
Lily gave birth to twins, one of which didn't survive. Once again, Lynn and Sue recorded the birth on a live webcam. It was a rare opportunity to see how a litter of different aged cubs gets along.
On the website, one post reads, "What a wonderful sight," and streaming footage shows Lily and Hope both nuzzling the newborn cub in the den.
When the family emerged in spring, Hope and Lily were back out exploring the woods together.
Lily sprawls over a mossy log, nipping playfully at her daughter, who's nestled in a crevice beneath the fallen tree.
And the remaining cub provided a playmate.
The tiny bear explores along the top of the log, and Hope runs along to meet it while Lily noses into the crevice. More time-lapse footage of scudding clouds, then Lily wearing fluorescent ribbons on her collar as she grazes with her family.
A few months later, in early September, Hope's story was to take a remarkable new twist. This was the very last footage of the family seen together.
The bears dash into the undergrowth.
A popular Minnesota bear being tracked by the Wildlife Research Institute in Ely has vanished. The bear's name is Hope. The research group says they've had a hard time keeping a radio collar on Hope, and they fear that she may have been shot by a hunter.
Hope was not wearing a collar to identify her as a research bear. She was legally shot at a hunter's bait site, close to Lynn's research cabin.
To lose a bear that we've been following for that length of time is huge, because, you know, each year we learn more, and the data we collect builds on the data that we already have on that bear, and it informs and enriches the things that we've already collected. And to think that, you know, that can be ended so quickly by a hunter's bullet.
A daily update heading reads, "Losing Hope."
The shooting of Hope generated an international outcry from Lily's Facebook fans, who attacked the hunter online. Some bear hunters lashed out at Lily's fans in response. They set up a rival Facebook site to give the hunting community's point of view. They felt that if the bears had names and became famous, it would interfere with their right to hunt them. They began to take a stand against Lynn and his collared research bears.
Lily became famous last year when she gave birth to a cub live on a webcam. But despite her popularity and the fact that she's a research bear, Lily isn't protected by the state. Tonight, WCCO's John Lauritsen shows us why one group of hunters believe she is fair game.
Lily was now a bear with a bounty.
A small town hunting and fishing shop.
Hunting in northern Minnesota is a way of life. It's big business. Bears are so successful here, their numbers need to be controlled. The state of Minnesota decides how many permits to award through a lottery system, depending on the health of the bear population. The revenue then goes back into bear conservation.
A couple with dogs.
Rick and Cindy live in Eagle's Nest, and like some residents, hunt bears not for trophies, but for food.
I am a hunter, and there's real satisfaction in providing the food that we eat.
We don't have to buy stuff at the grocery store, very little. You know, we eat quite well.
Rick has been approached by other hunters locally and offered a reward for shooting Lily or her family of collared research bears.
I was informed that there was a bounty out on collars, and, you know, if I shot one, to let them know, and then they would see that I got the money, which I... I just kind of shook my head at that. I would definitely avoid shooting a collared bear.
Current legislation requires hunters to set out bait sites and shoot from high stands. This gives them the best chance for a clean, humane shot.
A hunter in his hide.
It's not illegal to shoot collared bears, but the state asks hunters not to.
Right around here, there's probably a larger percentage of collared bears than wild bears. And it's hard enough to attract them in as it is, as a hunter. 4 years ago, I had three different collared bears come in, which we passed on. It's kind of hard to do, actually.
Yeah, but, it's like,
you know, I watched them, and I can honestly say, I don't know whether I would have shot a collared bear at that point or not, because I was getting rather frustrated. And luckily that decision didn't have to be made, because the bear that came in that evening was the first bear I'd seen that year that didn't have a collar. And it was a very tasty bear.
Yes, it was a very good bear. Yes, it was.
There are about 50 bears living in the woods around Eagle's Nest. This year, Lynn has collared 10.
A local resident feeding a bear.
Dot is Lily's 10-year-old niece, who visits Glenn and Nancy's garden most days. Asta is Lily's younger sister.
Come here, girl. Hey, girl.
Any one of these bears could be shot during the hunting season, with Lily top of the list.
Rays of sunlight streaming over the misty forest, then captured images of the woods, scrolling through from Lily at 4 years old to the present day. Lynn's driving.
We are now up to date with Lily's story. She is 6 years old, and it's the day before hunting season.
I can hardly believe that people are out trying to shoot this mother with cubs, wearing a radio collar, that we have spent so many years working with.
Lynn goes to great lengths to try to protect his collared bears.
Okay. All right, bear. Come on. Right here.
He has come today to decorate her collar with ribbons.
There. That was in your way, wasn't it? Okay. I gotta go to work here. I support hunting, because if you don't control bear numbers to the number that people will tolerate, they just want to get rid of them. We just beg hunters not to shoot the radio collared bears.
Okay,
there we go. We put ribbons on them so they can see that there's a collar. Most hunters respect that, some don't.
Well, I think anybody can see you. There's reflective strips on this.
Hunting season starts tomorrow. For the next 6 weeks, Lynn and Sue track the collared bears, following their movements to try and keep them safe.
Clouds pass over the Ely Field Station. Inside, Lynn's in a cluttered office with a ceiling fan.
Today is the first day of hunting season, September 1. That's why I didn't sleep much last night, why I got up well before dawn and was out just trying to see what was happening. The first bears I checked on when I came to work this morning, was Lily.
Each of their collared bears sends a GPS signal every 10 minutes to Lynn's computer.
I'm looking to see where some of these bears are. So I check each bear to see if there's enough movement to be sure that it's still alive. And then is it in a location where there's likely to be a hunter's bait or not? If we see, you know, a cluster of locations, it makes us wonder what is wrong.
Shots have been heard close to Lynn's cabin.
This time of year, if you hear shooting, if they're shooting a bear. I'm wearing orange because I don't want to get shot. We've seen some of the hunter blogs. We've seen the threats to these bears written on the social media. And we are worried.
Lynn drives past the blue pickup truck parked beside the road.
It's a hunter's vehicle.
Lynn responds to every gunshot he hears. He follows his bears closely in hunting season, taking a personal risk to protect them.
He freezes at the gun's report, then hurries on through the woods, carrying his antenna.
This is close to Lily's territory, but it's another bear signal he's picked up. Asta, Lily's younger sister.
Lynn waves his antenna as he progresses.
Something is wrong. Asta is not responding to Lynn's voice, and her signal suggests she is not moving.
A hulking black shape shuffles in the undergrowth.
It's me, Bear. Come, Aster. You're okay.
She's been shot.
She's limping, with bright ribbons dangling round her neck.
See her through the trees here. She got up and hobbled off. So I don't want to press her anymore, because she doesn't want company.
Aster hobbles away with one front leg dangling.
This is the first confirmation that some hunters are targeting his collared bears.
The way that leg is just dangling, I think it's a shoulder shot. I don't know if there's probably bones broken up here.
Aster limps along the side of the forest road, then shuffles across it with difficulty. Her limp left foreleg seems to drag more with every step.
So far this year, Lily has escaped the bullets, but the odds are stacking up against her.
It's me, Bear.
Lily's among the trees.
And there is more than just her life at stake this year.
Come, Lily.
Lily has two cubs, Ellie and Eli. It's now the middle of September, and nuts and berries in the woods are becoming scarce.
Lounging with her cubs in dappled sunlight, Lily yawns and paws at a branch above her head. The bright ribbons are still attached to her collar. The bear family forages in leaf litter.
Ellie is 7 months old, and like her mum, is naturally inquisitive. Her brother Eli is more reserved. There are 4 weeks remaining in the hunting season, and natural food is becoming scarce in the woods. It's not the cold weather that drives the bears into hibernation. It's the availability of food. And at this time of year, there are two alternatives. Hunter's baits in the woods, or the gardens and bird feeders of Eagle's Nest. But bears are not welcome at every cabin.
I had a friend over, and we were watching television in my home here. And she turned around and looked out and said, "Oh my God, the bear."
As the bears become habituated to being around humans, it creates a problem.
We've had bear come into the yard. We've had them up on our deck. They broke the railings off, trying to get into the house for food.
And if I may, here is the bear, like this.
The bears that come here that are wild bears, which we enjoy, we have to sneak up to the window and be quiet, or they're gone.
Whereas the collared bears really don't feel any reason to leave until they're good and ready.
In my opinion, it's not a matter of if, but it's a matter of when someone in this immediate area is going to get mauled or even killed by a black bear, a collared bear.
To fearful people, any bear that does not run away at the slightest sight of a person, they consider a threat. What I have found everywhere I go, with grizzly bears, black bears, polar bears, whatever, if they are not afraid of people, they become less dangerous. They become less apt to attack.
No one has ever been attacked here in Eagle's Nest. Until recently, bear complaints were lower here than elsewhere in Minnesota. However, the controversy surrounding Lily's family is now at crisis point. In June 2013, Lynn's research permit was restricted by the Department of Natural Resources, or DNR for short, partly because of fears for public safety. Lynn is currently suing the DNR, who were unavailable to comment for legal reasons. If Lynn loses, he will have to remove the collars from Lily and the other bears.
At this point, this research project is fighting for survival.
Although we have managed to educate a large portion of the public, we have failed to educate wildlife officials. And the wildlife officials are the ones that make the rules that govern our permit.
Until a judgment is reached, all they can do is try and keep their remaining collared bears safe.
Lynn's driving his van along a forest road.
It's Friday the 13th, and ominously, Lynn sees something on Dot's signal that worries him.
The van speeds through a thickly wooded area and into a village.
On the computer, Dot's collar took a fast ride from deep in the woods to in the middle of Ely. So that's where we're headed first. We're going to home in on the signal in Ely using telemetry.
He turns the corner into a residential street and parks on the curb.
Dot's signal leads Lynn to the house of a DNR state ranger. It can only mean one thing. She's been shot. Lynn and Sue are anxious to find out what happened.
Sue waits in the street while Lynn goes into the house.
He said that he got a call to come pick up the collar from a hunter that shot her, and everything was legal. So it's another disappointment that even though the DNR sent out a letter, all the hunters in the area asking them not to shoot radio-collared bears, And there's been plenty of press coverage and all asking that from us. And the signs we have everywhere, the ribbons on her collar, there was another hunter that didn't care, same as with Aster.
Lynn and Sue drive away, with the low evening sun slanting through the car windscreen.
It's really hard to understand why. It just feels senseless.
Lynn's van turns a corner, leaving the residential street behind.
That evening, there were a frenzy of comments online from both sides in the Facebook war.
A photo of a bear skull beneath a bullet marked with Dot's name. Morning sun streams through the pine forest where Lily's grazing in her bright ribbons.
There are 4 weeks of hunting to get through, and Lily is clearly not safe. To make matters worse, she's now feeding underneath a hunter's camouflaged stand.
2 more bears amble across a slope.
Nearby, Aster, the bear that was wounded by a hunter, is still alive.
What's amazing is I can't believe it. In her condition, she was way down in the state park, walked 12 miles, 20 kilometers north-northwest, deep into the roadless wilderness. She's now come back about 8 miles to this dense cedar swamp, which is a common place that injured bears take refuge. The injured bears feel vulnerable. They know they can't run, they can't climb, they can't fight. So they just want to stay away from any danger.
In the past, Lynn has seen bears recover from severe hunting injuries.
And I want to be able to track her to a den. And she's pregnant, so that should be soon.
Aster's foreleg is still hanging limp. Driving through sunlit forest, in cleared patches between the trees, pickup trucks are parked outside shady cabins.
Hunting season is almost over, and time is running out for both bears and hunters.
There's no one to be seen in the yards of the forest dwellings, where letterboxes stand in rows on the grassy verge of the woodland road. Lynn carrying a collar decorated with ribbons.
On the 27th of September, news came in of another collared bear being shot. It was June, Lily's mother, and Lynn's oldest and favorite research bear.
Sue called and said the collar is at the Department of Natural Resources. I knew she was dead and just hit with shock and then a feeling of emptiness, worse than some people that I've lost. It's kind of like an ending of an era.
Old footage of Lynn with June and her family. A squirrel watches them pass by.
Killing June was the best way to get to Lynn and I, to hurt us, to hurt the research.
June with newborn Lily.
And in many ways, you know, she will live on through everything that she's given to us. And, you know, the window into black bear life that she opened for us won't close with her death.
Again, there was nothing illegal about the shooting. But for Lynn and Sue, this was now the worst hunting season on record. 2 of their bears have been killed and 1 injured. Any hunter looking to make a statement had certainly succeeded.
A lakeside cabin.
Here in Eagle's Nest, the relationship between people and bears is always going to be a close one.
a gray-haired couple.
We love the bears. I mean, we do. We love the bear. We love the wildlife. That's why we're here. We love the wildlife.
Oh, well, I think the bears are, I mean, they're a natural part of the environment, along with wolves and moose and everything else. We like to see them. It's part of it. It's part of why we moved here.
I love to see the bears. I love to see any of the wildlife. Yeah. But you got to take it with what it is. It's a wild animal.
If the bears were still, quote unquote, wild and were not as big a problem as they are today, I would have no problem with that.
A lot of times it isn't a bear problem, it's a people problem.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the bears can learn to live with the people. And even though there's more people, I think the bears can adapt to that pretty well if the people will allow them to.
The bears certainly do make Eagle's Nest what it is for many people, be it good or bad.
An aerial view of a river snaking through a misty patch of forest.
2 weeks after hunting season ends, Lily finds a den deep in a rock crevice.
It's me. It's me, Bear. Come, Lily. You okay, Bear? It's me. It's me, Bear.
She peers out.
Oh. You're coming cautiously, aren't you? But you're coming. Good bear.
For the first few weeks, she can be tempted out for a bit of food.
Okay. Right, bear. Come on. Right here. I'm just going to sit down here. Hey, bear.
She is safe for another year. And now the hunting season is over, Lynn removes her ribbons for winter.
Good bear.
Lily and her cubs will remain in this den until spring next year.
Lynn adjusts Lily's collar as she eats.
There. I know you don't care one whit about me. It's only the food. But I'm glad you're here. Okay, now.
Ellie, the bolder female cub, doesn't turn down the opportunity for a snack.
Lily nuzzles her cub.
One of the great things is that Lily, probably the most famous bear alive, has made it through the hunting season. She's settling down. I don't think she's vulnerable to a hunter anymore this year.
The future of Lynn's research with Lily and her family is uncertain until the legal battle is resolved. What we do know is that Lily has survived the most challenging year of her life.
Lily is a pretty good bear. She has done more than just about any bear of letting us know about bear life. Lily is still alive. She will go on.
The life of a celebrity bear is not without its hazards. But fortunately, she will spend the next 5 months below ground, out of the limelight.
In May 2014, the court ruled against Lynn. He has now removed the radio collars from Lily and the other research bears.